Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of A Gem of a Secret podcast. My name is Coco Gem Holiday. Tonight, I am wearing my festive Mrs. Claus red and white furry outfit with some nice Santa Claus boots. I'm really excited because tonight we are doing our Drag to Dinner, which is part of the Powerfully Pink initiative with Pride Northwest. And I'm really excited about that. On today's episode, I kind of want to talk about a couple of issues that kind of came up in the community, and I wanted to offer a little bit more insight into my opinions about why I feel the ways that I do. So I was reading an article that Poison Waters had given an interview. And if you don't know Poison Waters, she's an iconic drag legend in the Portland drag community. She's been in the game for a long time. She's the primary host at Darcel 15 Showplace and was good friends with Darcel before she passed. This is what she had said in the article. There was a question that was asked, what makes Portland such fertile ground for drag? And Poison had said, it really is hugely Darcel in the fact that he started this. He opened the club 2 years before the Stonewall riots. Drag has always been in Portland for any modern person. It wasn't like this new thing trying to radically alter the landscape of the city. That's the main reason Portland is. I don't want to say untouched from the stuff going on around the country, but kind of sheltered. Portland is diverse and let live and let live. Trust me, enough people are coming after us. We know we're not totally immune. Drag queens come from around the country and say, you don't quite know how lucky we are. We're quite aware. And I said, I had made a Facebook post that had essentially said that this is what Poison Waters had said. And then I said, I absolutely think that the institution of Darcel's 15 Showplace and what Darcel did for drag was groundbreaking, dangerous, innovative, and brave. Also, that establishment provided a one-stop shop for drag where people knew they could come to find drag. However, I don't think that's what makes Portland such a fertile ground for drag. As drag becomes more mainstream, people know it exists. It's not taboo in the way it once was. It has a lot more hidden rules, but that's not what this post is about. Portland has done a wonderful job offering open calls as well as opportunities for newer entertainers the ability to get started without all the heat of the older generation's rules on drag. More importantly, Portland has a lot of untapped opportunity in spaces and venues. That means that for the seasoned entertainers, there's opportunity to create and grow. We've also seen drag talent celebrated in different areas such as theater, activism, live music, and stand-up in Portland. Also, over the last few years, the gatekeepers have kind of been called in about how much it costs to do drag, so the money is slowly starting to turn in the right direction. Drag artists are also starting to police our own community to make it safer while looking out for one another. Bottom line, Portland has become a very fertile ground for drag because more and more people are allowed to play. The type of drag a drag artist wants to pursue has a place on many different stages. You can change and evolve in the scene. There are always fans out there who are waiting for you to shine no matter what kind of drag artist you are. Lastly, we only had small nuggets of people attacking drag, so I agree. We are lucky on that front. When it comes to national conversation, in 2024, let's do a better job making our scene more seen, amazing, and collaborative. And that is to say, I really do believe those things. Like, I know that people think that Poison Waters and I, have this feud or whatever, but reality is we never really had a run-in with each other, not necessarily. I know from the grapevine of kind of how she feels about me, those comments that Darcel 15 and Showplace don't really F with Coco Gem Holiday, da 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 da. And there really hasn't been anything that I've done necessarily to any of them in any capacity. I'm very outspoken about how I feel about certain things, and I've always just been that way. And sometimes when you're outspoken about the way you feel about things, it can rub people the wrong way. And I understand this fully when it comes to me and who I am and how I do my drag. Now, the reason that this is so interesting of a conversation for me is because no other place in the country has an institution with drag like this at this level. Like, Darcel was the oldest working drag queen in the world, right? So we have drag as a staple in our community. But if that was true, then how come Chicago, New York, and LA, and like kind of Arizona have bigger drag meccas, and you see them on Drag Race all the time? Like, if it's true that we have the oldest working drag queen here, why is it that you don't see more Portlanders getting on Drag Race? Because the drag in Portland is phenomenal. It's amazing. We've had people on all kinds of different shows here. But you haven't seen us on that national platform except for Jinx Monsoon. And keep in mind, Jinx Monsoon didn't claim Portland when she was on the first time. The second time she was on, she definitely claimed Portland when she was the winner of all winners. So you're telling me the winner of all winners lives in Portland, but yet Portland drag itself is not part of this conversation. And that's super weird to me. I think that the Portland drag scene is fertile because of some stuff that Jinx has done. As in, I said in my status, I think it has to do with the fact that there's a lot of opportunity here. I hear this from the stand-up community a lot that there's so many different mechanisms and avenues for us to play together in this scene. So that gives us more room to grow and show our art in a bunch of different avenues. And the other thing too is, like I said this a I've said this a few times on this podcast, that I know that certain people thought it was weird that I was like merging into brewery scene to do my drag and to do my art. And but the thing is, a venue is a venue is a venue. You can always find places to do drag at a certain level if you want to. You just have to like take the opportunity to just go do it. And that is kind of how I've always seen this scene, is it's just a plethora of opportunity. At this time, I do at the time of filming this, there has been two deaths in the drag scene. And I don't want to necessarily speak on either of these individuals because I actually never really interacted with either of them. And when it's interesting, when there is like a community death, and everybody is kind of involved or they've kind of heard about it, there's this like overwhelming sense of belonging and this overwhelming self of sadness. And I was asking Autumn, who'd been here before, and I was like, "Hey, how did you feel about this?" And she's like, "Well, that one person I never really met, and that other person I probably only talked to a couple of times." And I was like, "Okay, so like when you see all these posts online, and you, I guess for me, all it does is just make me feel like I wish I would have met these people. I know that people always say the best of someone when someone passes, and you know, because you don't go online and you're like, oh, I hated this like person, I'm so glad they're gone. You usually see more positive things about somebody, even if they weren't a great person. And what I've really learned about these two individuals is that they changed the scene for the better in so many iconic and amazing ways. And I think that that's great, and I think that that's beautiful. The way that I've always been is trying to feel the pulse of the communities that I'm involved in to be able to understand the impact and what people have done. And it's been really beautiful to see the community coming together. And I know that even though I don't have an opinion on this matter, it is, my heart goes out to all of those in pain who are missing their friends who are no longer with us. And that's just, I guess, where I want to leave that piece of it at. As we move forward into the holiday season, I know that like this time of year is really scary for people. And I recognize that my part to play in that is to make sure that we all feel safe in our chosen families. There's so queer kids still struggle around the holidays because, you know, you have to deal with family members who may or may not know your sexual orientation, or they feel a way about it, or your homophobic grandma and all those other comments that are being made. Just remember that your chosen family, like I said last month, will be the people that help you get through. If this last couple of weeks here in Portland have taught me anything, it's that we need people, need people, especially around this time, especially when there's death in our community, especially when it's around the holidays, especially when we're all trying to just make ends meet. So, with that, how you doing, listeners? Let me know in the comments.
Tune in, fabulous listeners. We've got a sizzling announcement for all you drag aficionados and karaoke connoisseurs. Join us every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. for an unforgettable night of glamour and entertainment at Misfits Bar and Lounge, located at 2530 Northeast 82nd Avenue in Portland. Hosted by the mesmerizing Autumn Rains and captivating Coco Gem Holiday, this drag queen karaoke show will have you singing, dancing, and living your best life. Let loose and showcase your vocal prowess alongside these extraordinary queens as they create an atmosphere bursting with energy, laughter, and pure fabulousness. Mark your calendars and gather your squad for a Wednesday night that promises to be nothing short of spectacular. Whether you're a seasoned performer or a first-time diva, Misfits Bar and Lounge is a place to be for an unforgettable evening of entertainment, empowerment, and endless fun. Don't miss out on the fabulous extravaganza. Join us this Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. and let your inner star shine at Misfits Bar and Lounge, Portland's newest queer plus space.
It's a podcast.
Check it out.
Tune into what they tell you podcast.
And we are back, listeners. In this half of the episode, I wanted to talk about something that happened to me personally in my friend circle. And I kind of posted about it online, but I thought I'd give some people a little bit more insight into the situation that happened. I know that that post was kind of well seen by a lot of people in our community, but I decided that I'm going to talk about it here just because I have a lot of feelings about it. And I use this podcast to troubleshoot my life a little bit. I had posted online, I have a lot on my mind, and I'm going to try and write this in a way to clear my head. As many of you know, there's this guy who I've written about a few times online, and many of you know who it is. He unwelcomely showed up at my house last night at 2 in the morning. He tried and failed to break my doorbell camera so there wouldn't be any video of his shitty actions. I wonder if that's enough to get a restraining order. Probably not, because Oregon law is stupid. An altercation happened that leaves me feeling unsafe in my own home. Not specifically because he knows where I live, but this dude is escalating. Every time I see him, he escalates. I'm just worried that me, my property, and my friends are going to get hurt because this piece of shit can't get the hint. The man was asked to leave several times and wouldn't. Yes, cops were called, but PPD was not going to show up in time. And dear God, I get triggered every time I have to deal with the cops, and yesterday was a lot of that. It just sucks that something traumatic has to happen before we have power legally. Sorry, I know this is rambling, but I'm rocking 2 hours of sleep. This was the same man who asked to grab my husband's junk to see if my husband would beat him down. The same man who hit on everyone who comes in contact with, who has crossed every line imaginable with me, then assaults one of my good friends last night. I want this man out of my life before the escalation continues. Lastly, it really sucks when people wind up in these toxic situations, because the thing that happened last night that hasn't happened in a while, as a black man, I know I can't do what I want to do when somebody won't get the F off of my property because it'll end poorly for me. Luckily, there was some good friends around with a lighter pigmentation who handled the situation, but it left me feeling powerless. Suffice it to say, and I don't mean to make people worry, I'm pretty sure the next time he shows up, he'll more than likely bring a weapon to my house. I have no proof of that, but he saw how well it went when he showed up unarmed. What's the next logical conclusion? Thanks for reading. I then posted a video of the start of the night. I said, this was the start of the night. This is the only clip I'm going to post to ask my community to be aware of this person. I'm done enabling the secrecy of what's been going on to spare people's feelings. A lot of people in my circle have had a run-in with this person, and we all need to recognize that enough is enough. At this point, if I lose friends because of this person, and I'm honestly willing. I was like, 3 months ago, Babs and I went to his house and told him to knock it off after a really, really, really horrible incident, and it's been escalating ever since. I'm just done with him. And for those that care about this person, I know this call out may be hard to read, but he needs help. He's a master manipulator who's charming AF. He's a stone cold alcoholic. I've become so numb to his entire situation, and it just won't stop. Every time I blink, he's in the space or showing up at my damn house. And that's true. That's literally true. That's literally what happened. And so basically, this person showed up to my house to come collect someone who was staying at my house, a person who was at my house to be away from him. And he came to my door, knocked on it and whatever. And I basically told my friend, I said, hey, you're sober. You have a car. If you want to go see him, like, that's your business, but you need to not. I was like, but I don't want him to come into my house, but he came anyway. When he knocked on the door, a friend of mine answered and said, hey, and asked the guy at the door, to wait there, and then ask my friend inside if she wanted to speak with him. My friend said that they would, so they went to the porch to talk for a little bit. This part's a little bit hazy because there's like not necessarily proof or non-proof of what happened next. Because like, so basically he was gaslighting her the entire time, and being really awful and terrible and saying some horrible things to her, and then basically went back inside the house. My friends went back inside the house, and then what he did was he decided to try to break my doorbell camera so he could talk in private. And then we heard some scuffling happening outside. And so then we all ran outside, and I told him to, you know, get the F off my property. And then my one friend said, you better leave now. And da 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 da. And then he flipped off Autumn. Everybody knows I live with Autumn. He flipped off Autumn, cursed at her, and whatever. And then, pretty much happened is that's when he kind of like assaulted my friend and stuff like that. And my friend, of course, defended themselves, and it kind of escalated from there. And then he called the cops. I called the cops. And that's kind of what happened. And then it left me feeling kind of icky because I asked the cops, I was like, well, are you still coming by, or like, what's happening? And like, I don't know what's supposed to be going on in the situation, and da 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 da. And the cops were pointless and useless in the situation, I'm not gonna lie. No cops ever ended up showing up, no statements were made. It left me feeling a little bit powerless, and I hate talking to the cops. And I had to call back like 3 or 4 times because we were trying to get everything solved and figured out and what to do, and it was a mess. The only reason that I'm bringing all of this up is just to specifically say, at the end of the day, when it comes to relationships between two people, that I have come to understand that I need to stop enabling certain behaviors. It's really difficult when you have friends that are involved in these toxic situations because you want to be there for them, but you can't enable the actions that are keeping them in harm's way, and you cannot enable the actions that are keeping everybody unsafe. Like, you don't want to, people, there's this taboo thing where you don't want to tell friends that they should break up with someone. And I don't know where that ever came from, but I've gotten to the point where I've told my friend that this person is just not a good person to be around. And hopefully they'll eventually get that hint. Because where I sit is love should be about healthy, fulfilling, and positive moments. I remember last night on the microphone, I was telling an audience full of people, I was like, yeah, I've only been with my husband for maybe like 3 or 4 years. We've been married or whatever. And I was like, I don't really remember the date. And somebody was like, oh. And I was like, no, I was like, you're missing my point here. I was like, the reason I don't remember the date is every day with my husband is kind of great. I was like, he's one of my favorite people. I was like, I like spending time with him and he makes me happy. I was like, so I don't count it in years. I count it in moments and I count it in days. And so it just, that's how I feel about it. There's just never been a time when I've not liked him so much or where he's not been my favorite person. So I'm going to continue letting him be my favorite person because it makes me happy. Yeah. And so if anybody out there ever needs any assistance or if they want to talk to anyone, my door is always open to be able to communicate with people about these things. I've had people in my life who've been struggling really, really hard about a bunch of different issues. And I'm really just hoping that folks seek the help that they need. I really believe in therapy. I think that it's a good service. I think it's one thing people can do to make sure that they get their head on right. And it just, I don't know, it hurts my heart that people got caught in these kind of situations and don't know how to get out. So be kind to one another, listeners. Yeah. Bye.
Hi, everybody. This has been another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. The host of A Gem of a Secret Podcast is Coco Gem Holiday. Our music was provided by Touche Douche and Party Favors. You can follow them on Instagram at Touche Likes Beef and Party Favors Music. Please follow us online at www.agemofasecretpodcast.com. That is a J-E-M of a secret podcast.com or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our episodes are released every Thursday. Bye-bye.